you for the opportunity to hear your words. We thank you for your presence this morning, ministering to every heart that is here by your Spirit. And now, Lord, we ask that your words will minister to us powerfully. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, one word, change. Turn around and tell somebody, change. A teenager say to the mom, "Mom, I want to change the world." Have you ever felt that way before? Somewhere in your life when you were young, you think you can change the world? He said, "Mom, I want to change the world." And the mom looked at him. Wise mom always give wise answer. And the mom say, "If you want to change the world, start by making your bed every morning. If you want to change the world, make your bed every morning." Hey, it may be something very small to accomplish in the morning. But you know, life is made up of small things, small change, small things. And one small thing, one accomplishment will add to another. If you want to change the world, start by changing who? Changing yourself first. Everybody wants to change some other person. It's always some other person that needs to change, because it's always some other person's fault. It's always some other person that needs to pull the weight. Not me. It is you. Here's a conversation between a husband and wife. The dear wife said, "Why is you so stubborn? This is awful. You need to change." How many of you have heard your wife say that to you before? Don't put up your hand. And the sweet husband replied, "You are just unreasonable." Have you ever said that to your wife before? "You are just unreasonable. You know I'm doing the best I can. Is that what I get for being kind to you? You need to change." I'm sure as a pastor, when you counsel couples, they all point at each other, telling each other, "You need to change." Is that right, Pastor Kara? They all want some other people to change. That's why conflict and unhappiness never ends when you're always looking for the other person to change. I stopped trying to change my wife. And she stopped trying to change who? Me. Simply, we change ourselves for each other. I wonder, have you spent time praying, "God, change my spouse, change my circumstances, change my colleague, oh God, change my neighbor." You know, I have a dog, and a few months ago, my dog was barking and barking and barking. We were not in. And the neighbor saw us, put her head over the fence. She's a lady. "Your dog is barking so much. You shouldn't do that." So we apologize. I got the dog a collar, you know, so that if it bark, there is vibration, so the dog doesn't bark. When I look at her, I was going to tell her, "If the dog don't bark, you want the dog to sing?" So I get quiet, you know. And I only used that for one time, and the dog stopped barking unnecessary. Now, she got a dog. And I'm telling you, her dog barked day and night, even 12 in the morning, early morning, the dog is still barking. I feel like putting my head over the fan. You know, sometimes we pray, change my situation, change the condition of my life. But seldom do we pray a prayer that is so needed and so important. That's simple prayer. Change me, O Lord. Have you ever prayed a prayer before? So simple. Change me, O Lord. Is this your prayer? I'm the one in need of change, not other. The problem is not my spouse, it's not others, and not even my surrounding. It is what? It is me. I'm the one that needs to change. 2 weeks ago, you heard about abiding in Him in John chapter 15. Jesus Christ, the vine, you and I, the branches, the Father, the husbandman, that we are connected to Him and to one another for what? Fruitfulness. And one form of fruitfulness is being pruned. Pruned that we have changed life, transformed life. Christianity is the only message that tells us that your sin is forgiven, you are a new creation, and you are changed by the power of God. That is the message of Christianity. Change. Change life. I don't know about you. Whether you like it or not, you are in the process of change. Physically, you are changing. And one aspect of your physical change is this word called, hard to pronounce, aging. And this can be very confronting and even frightening. And no amount of makeover, no amount of money you spend can stop this process of changing called aging. So what do? I know I'm changing. I'm getting older. I have learned to live with it and enjoy it gracefully. Grow old happily, say amen to that. You know, and I tell my wife, let's grow old together. And then to you at Grace CC Church, we are the family. Let's grow old together. That's what Pastor Kara said last week. Let's grow old together. And let's enjoy every breath, every moment we have in God. Physically, you are changing. Spiritually, you are also changing. You don't just exist to exist, but spiritually you are changing. And the thing is that when you look at the mirror, are you changing to be more like Christ or less like Christ? Are you more like Christ or more like the world? In your spiritual life, you need to change. You cannot be stagnant. If you are not growing in Christ, then you are sliding back. You know, and sometimes it's possible that we allow disappointment, hurts and pain, and even unforgiveness to take root in our heart. And then it settles us so deeply that we do not realize that it has eaten up our energy. I want you to know, we need to pray that prayer every day. Change me, O God, that I may conform to the image of Christ in every area of my life. It's only when I'm prepared to change, then am I able to see breakthrough taking place in my life. If I don't want to change, then life will be chaotic and troublesome. And I have decided that I'm going to stop blaming others, stop pointing my fingers at others, stop justifying myself, I am right, others are wrong. God, made me realize that in order for me to experience breakthrough in my own life, I must admit, God, I'm the one that needs to be what? To be changed. God, change me. So if your prayer is change me, oh God, this is my sermon title this morning. Change me, oh God. And it's from this passage of Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52. Let me read to you. Mark chapter 10. Mark 10, verse 46. Now they came to Jericho. As Jesus went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road bedding. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man and said to him, be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabbi, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. This blind man Bartimaeus, he showed us, if you want to change, you want your life to change, there are seven steps that you need to take. Jesus has been preaching and teaching in the area around the Sea of Galilee. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and as he passed to Jericho, this blind man Bartimaeus, he demonstrate to us how we can be changed in our life with the seven steps that he took. Step number one, take responsibility for your life. Bartimaeus heard that Jesus from Nazareth was nearby. He began to shout out, you need to own up to your own responsibility. See, many people talk about their problem. And when they talk about their problem, they say it's always someone else's fault. Have you heard of teenagers that blame their parents? Parents that blame their children? Employers that blame their staff? Staff that blame the employer? I mean, people are blaming everyone. They blame the world, the dog, the cat, even the poor goldfish. But never take responsibility for themselves. You want change. First step, take responsibility for yourself. Let me tell you, there are things that will happen to you that you cannot control. Do you realize that? There are things that will happen to you you cannot control. But you can control who? You can control yourself. You can control your response, your reaction, and your emotion. But when pain happened to you, and to most people when such thing happened, they say this, you make me mad. Have you ever heard people say, she make me mad, he made me mad. No, 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 nobody make you mad. The person that makes you mad is the person that you look at the mirror. And when you look at the mirror, who is that? It is such a fact, you. Things will happen in your life. Life is not fair. How many of you have realized that? That which you do not expect does take place. And when it happened, the question is, how would you react? Would you blame other people? Bartimaeus could blame his parents. Because of my parents, I'm blind. He could blame society. He could blame the place and the time he was born. Have you ever people say, if I was not born in this time, if I was not born to this home? You could blame anything you want under the sun. But the thing that Barnabas did, he did not blame anyone. And he know one thing. That is, for something to happen in his life, he had to take responsibility, and he took responsibility by coming to Jesus. He could not help himself. God can. He knew that the help he needs is from a higher power than himself. He cried out to Jesus for help. He humbled himself and sought help, and Jesus met his need. He was not the one that made himself blind. But instead of blame other, he cried for help to the one who can make sight, who can make him to see. And he came to Jesus. Change me, O Lord. What do you need to take responsibility for your life in order for you to say the same prayer? Change me, O Lord. Second step, believe you can change. You heard people say, I am what I am. This is me. You don't expect much from me. I'm not going to change for you, and I can never change. This is me. Accept it and live with it. Have you ever heard people say that before? But every one of us here need to believe in Jesus Christ. He said you are a new creation. In Jesus Christ, you are a new person. In Jesus Christ, you are changed and being changed and will be completely changed when you meet him face to face. You need to believe you can change. The blind man said to Jesus, Teacher, I want to see. Bartimaeus knew what he wanted. He believed that Jesus could do something that would make him be able to walk, that he would never be the same again, that he would be different. Believe you can change. Then try to pray, God, why don't you change my employer, change my wife, change my husband, change my children, change my friends, you know, and change where I live. Believe you can change. One afternoon, in a meeting, I received a prophetic word from a prophet that I knew, and I know he's very accurate. And he said this to me. He said, Stuart, I have a word for you. You want God to bring you over the storm? You want God to bring you around the storm? He wants to bring you through the storm. And why does God want to bring me through the storm? For only one purpose, to change who? To change me. To change me. God never said that he will change your storm or situation. But he promised to change you. He promised to change you. And he promised to change you. You know, and he promised to change you because he used the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is called the changing agent of your life. He used the Holy Spirit so that he can change your attitude, your viewpoint, your outlook, and whatever is taking place in this moment in your life, in your inner world. Can I tell you, believe that you can change, that God wants to change you. Barnabas believed that Jesus could change him, and that is what he wanted. How about you? Never say, I cannot change. Believe you can change. Because when you believe you can change, you open your heart to the Holy Spirit, who is the changing agent of your life. This is called, this word, sanctification. Growing like Christ. Step number 3. Know your real need. Australia is such a blessed country. And a affluent society like Australia. In a country like this, your felt need is ever increasing. Do you realize that? Your family is ever increasing with wanting more and wanting bigger. And so we are overwhelmed with our felt need. We feed the felt need. We satisfy the felt need. And even people change their job. And even change church on felt need. But they neglect the real need. God can use your felt need. I need this, Lord. To bring you to a place to come to Him so that you will understand your real need. What is your real need? What is your real need? Your real need is Jesus. How many of you realize that? Your real need is Jesus. In the midst of all our wanting, actually the real need is Jesus. Because the felt need that is in you can never be satisfied. What you have, you want more. But when your felt need is met by the real need, the real need is that person called Jesus Christ that comes into your heart and give you meaning and purpose and satisfy you and make you recognize that having Him is better than anything in this world. That is the real need. You see, it is possible in the affluent world where the church can preach so much about felt need, and the more you meet, you preach about felt need, the greater becomes their felt need. When we need to preach only about one real need, the need for Jesus Christ. What about those days when we believe that He can satisfy you? I used to sing a song as a teenager, He is all I need. Remember that, Pastor Cara, Henry? He is all I need. Do we realize that He is all I need? Because we are living in a time where we think we need Jesus plus a little bit more this, a little bit more that, a little bit more. And we will never realize that felt need will always grow. But having your need met by the real need, who is Jesus, what you don't have, you are happy. You are satisfied. You are contented. You chase after felt need. It will never satisfy you. Barnabas did not cry out for food, for clothing, or money, or house, I believe he may need. But he cried for one thing, God, this is what I need. Have mercy on me. God, I need you to have mercy on me. And when you have mercy on me, I want to see. I want to see. And Jesus asked him, what do you want? What do you want? Is it not surprising? Don't Jesus know that he wants to see? But then Jesus asked him, what do you want? Since God knows everything, why do we still have to tell him? Have you ever asked yourself that? God knows my need, why do I have to pray? The reason is, telling him is faith in action. Telling him is a declaration that, Lord, I depend on you. I am in need of you. Telling him is to believe that God cares enough to hear and act for you. What is your need today? I want you to tell God about them. And when you tell God about them, where is the need of healing, a need of relationship restoration, need of your children, you know, opening their heart to the Lord, whatever is your need, tell Him, because Jesus is the only one that can meet those needs. And He awaits to hear and meet your needs. Because according to the riches of His grace, He wants to show you. Step number four, let no one hold you back. The people told him to be quiet. They tell him, no one Do like what you did. Keep quiet. Be silent. You know, don't make any more noise. This is not the right place. This is not the right time. Nobody had done this before. But Barnabas, the more they call him to be quiet, the louder and more noise that he made, because no one is going to stop him from his need. How about you? Desperate men with desperate need will not be held back by anyone. No one is going to stop a desperate man like Barnabas. He cried out till his need is met. But sometimes we let people hold us back because we think, what would they think or what would they say about me? How many of you felt that way before? You know, I want to tell you something. Sometimes we have this, what would they think, what would they say about me? Actual fact, people don't think and people don't say about you. How many of you realize that? Hello? We have this presumption that everybody is just looking at us to pick on us. How many of you realize that? Stop that. Stop that. Because it is this presumption of what people think and will say about me that is going to kill your joy. That is going to kill you from doing what God asks you to do. No one is going to hold you back. No one. And don't ever allow no and cannot hold you back. Have you prayed for something and God has not answered you yet? How many of you have that? I have. There are things that I've been praying, I'm still praying. I encourage you, keep on calling out to God. Is there a need that God has not met it yet? Keep on calling to God. And are you hurting and no one has an answer? Keep on crying out to God, because delay is not no. There's going to be delay. Don't let anyone, don't let delay hold you back. Delay means it's to wait, it's to tarry. It means it's from behind, but it's coming closer and closer to the front. It is last, but the race is not yet finished. Delay means future or something is yet to come. Don't let anybody hold you back. Because if you are worried about what people say and think, this is what Jesus said. Don't worry. Because if you are worried, it's going to stop you from what God has for you. So do not quit. Do not give up or give in. Cry even louder. Louder to God. God, I need you to help me. Persistent is so much needed. It's one of the great virtues of our Christian life. It is persistence that we must have to last or to wait till the end. Lord, no one is going to hold me back from believing you, from change. Step number 5, stop waiting for perfect time. The Bible tells us in verse 6, a great crowd was falling. Barnabas was wasting beside the road. Others already traveling with Jesus, the disciple, and a great multitude. Others already have their opportunity. What is Barnabas, the man who cannot see? What chances does he have? This is the last time that Jesus passed through Jericho. If Barnabas wait for another time, it will never happen. If you are waiting for ideal condition, it will never happen. Farmers who wait for perfect time will never sow or harvest. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4 to verse 6. Do not sit there watching the wind. Do your own work. Do not stare at the crowd. Get on with your life. You will never understand the mystery at work in all that God does. How many realize that? You pray. God is doing something. It's a mystery. You know, and you will never know from moment to moment how your work will turn out in the end. Don't wait. If you are waiting for the right time, you are waiting for the right opportunity, you are waiting for a perfect season, I tell you, it may not happen, but whatever God gives you, seize the opportunity. Because that's what He has given you. I ask you today to seek Jesus while He is here. Life will never give you a perfect time. But I want you to know that God's time is always what? Perfect. Always in the nick of time. Are you ready when it comes? Step number 6. Act now. Barnabas, when Jesus said, "Come to me," Barnabas took off his coat and threw it off and jumped up and went to Jesus. He did not say, "Some other time, when I'm ready, this is not the most convenient time." Straight away, he responded. He took off his coat and ran to Jesus. Right now. Act now. You know, sometimes people say, "When I get older, when I get more time, when I get a chance." I encourage you, if you are not connected to a powerhouse, find time and go and get connected. Because if you are waiting for perfect time, it will never happen. I encourage you, whatever Jesus asks you to do, do it what? Do it now. Act now. Because this is what the Bible says by James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25. Do what God's word say. Do not merely listen to it, or you will fool yourself. If someone listens to God's word, but does not do what he says, he is like a person who looks at his face in a mirror, study his features, go away, and immediately forget what he looks like. The Message Bible tells us, between looking and forgetting is only 10 seconds. However, the person who continues to study God's perfect teaching that makes people free and who remains committed to them will be blessed. People like that do not merely listen and forget. They actually do what God's teaching say. What God is saying to you, if you want to change, act now. Do it now. Whatever needs to be removed, there is an obstacle. Just like Barnabas, he threw away his garment. You know, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 tell us to throw away any weight or sin that pull us down from running that Christian race. Throw it away. Final step 7. Follow Jesus. Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Go your way." But the Bible tells us that Barnabas followed Jesus on the road. He followed Jesus down the road. Barnabas followed Jesus, not follow others, not follow us, but he followed Jesus, because the only way to be changed and keep on changing is to follow who? Is to follow Jesus. You are not there yet. You have not arrived. You are still a WIP, a work in progress. How many of you realize that? You are still, and I want you to know the finished work of you is what God said, a masterpiece. Amazing. Sometimes I think God works harder on some people than others. Maybe I'm a tough nut. I don't know about you. But I realize that I'm still a work in progress. God is still working in me. This is our theme for 2021. Follow me. Simply, follow me to be like me. Today we call it spiritual formation. Christ be formed in you. The forming and shaping of Christ in you. Because the end of the day when you stand before Jesus Christ is how much of Jesus has been formed in you. This is our pastoral prayer for you, that you will be shaped in your mind and heart into the image of Christ, so that you no longer live for self, but for Christ. Are you ready to follow Jesus and take this seventh step to be changed, to be like Jesus? Lord, I'm going to take responsibility for my life. Lord, I'm going to believe I can change. I'm not going to say, this is what I am. Live with it. Lord, I'm going to know what is my real need. My real need is that I need you above all any other thing. Lord, I'm not going to let anyone hold me back. Lord, I'm going to stop waiting for the perfect time. Now you speak, now I act. And I'm going to keep on following Jesus. Musician, can you please come? This morning, is this your prayer? Lord, change me. Lord, change me. I know most of us would have easily prayed a more common prayer. God bless me. But how about this morning? Change your prayer from Lord bless me to Lord change me. Would you stand up with me? Lord, change me. The struggle that I have, I ask, change me, Lord. The pain that I have, I ask, Lord, change me. The emotion, Lord, they are not healthy. They are biting me and eating me. I ask you, Lord, change me. I ask for your Holy Spirit, the free, cleansing power, the changing power, God, to work in me, to change me day by day, moments by moments. Lord, I will not allow an opportunity of change to be. But Lord, I will allow your Spirit to work and change me. My prayer to you, Lord, is, oh Lord, change me. Change me, oh Lord. If this is your prayer this morning, lift your hand to Him and say, Lord, change me. I ask, change me so that my world will experience the peace of God. Change me, O God. Only you can change me, no one else. I have tried myself, Lord. It only brings frustration and anguish and disappointment. But I know when your Holy Spirit, the changing agent, comes and change me, God. I know I can yield to your Spirit. I can trust your loving hand and be changed by the power of your Spirit. For Lord, when I stand before you, I want to stand knowing that I have been changed in my journey on earth to be like more and more like Jesus. Father, we stand before you this morning. We open hearts and say, Lord, change me. It's not our brother or sister, it's not others standing before you. It is me. You know me by name, O God. You know my up and down. Even when I was in my mother's womb, you already saw me. You know what is lacking and what needs to be adjusted and what needs to be removed and what needs to be added in. So Lord, I stand before you and say, change me, O God, by the power of your word, by the power of your spirit, the joy of being your child and being like you. Every morning, Lord, may this be my prayer to you. Change me, O Lord. So that those that are around me can see Christ in me. I asked in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Don't be in a hurry to go. Stay back for fellowship.